846-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
Oh, man, it's football season already. If you woke up this morning, good grief. Nathan, what was it, like 50 degrees outside?
I stepped out at like 8 o'clock. It was probably a crisp 52, 53. It was a beautiful morning here.
You're wearing the Happy Valley hoodie here, so you're ready for football season, right?
Boy, am I ready. It's only 11 days away from kickoff, so only 4 days until we actually see college ball, so I cannot wait.
I had to break out the jacket this morning, a little windbreaker. So this is Sports Central. Good afternoon. Welcome. We got a lot of football stuff today, and really, for the next 4 months or so, it's going to be kind of nonstop football. The Pirates are terrible. I always liked when the Pirates, for a few years, Nathan, a decade ago, they were good in August and September. Give us a little something to talk about. But without the Pirates, there's literally nothing else we can talk about but football.
Yeah, it's football season. The Pirates, they know this. Once August, September comes around, and if they're not competitive, they're going to be pushed to the wayside. It's all about the Steelers, all about Penn State around here. Pirates are an afterthought unless, you know, they can at least make a run at a playoff spot. But obviously that is not happening this year as they're 58-66 right now. No shot.
We have got a lot of great discussion today. We got a terrific Tuesday for you for 2 hours. We've got this show. We're going to spend primarily talking Penn State and college football. And we have an excellent discussion on just what Penn State would need to do in the college football playoff or postseason for this to be a successful season. We'll get to that here in just 1 second. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we've got our Black and Gold Breakdown show. Kreider and Bortner will be in here with me. We're going to address the Steelers' many, many issues, their pathetic offensive line. But should we overreact to an 0-2 start in the preseason? Does it really matter? Nathan, we're not going to spend much time on this show because we're going to do it the next hour, but Or would you be overly concerned that the Steelers' offense has basically looked like hot garbage so far?
I mean, I think it's a little concerning the offensive line's getting pushed around, but I'd never take that much stock into preseason simply because the proof's in the pudding last year. Last year, they looked like the second coming of the 99 Rams out there. I mean, Kenny Pickett looked like Tom Brady, prime Tom Brady, and you saw what happened. He can't even hit a deep ball anymore, so I mean, I'm not taking too much stock into it, but I think they need to address the offensive line. Maybe when Fatanu comes back and Jones gets back to his natural position, they'll be able to figure some stuff out. But if Frazier can hold it down in the interior at center, I think they'll be okay. But I think the offensive line definitely needs some work, but they always, in the second half of the year, seem to progress a lot more on that side. So we'll just kind of wait and see.
Our phone lines are open, 946-0435. We'll get to the line here in just a second, but real quick, I did touch on this yesterday. I think Kenny Pickett is absolutely terrible. I think Kenny Pickett is a garbage, horrible, horrendous quarterback that really doesn't deserve to be anything better than a number three quarterback on a team. Now, in the fourth quarter of some games last year for the Steelers, he pulled his Tim Tebow magic and was able to find something, and he was playing under Matt Canada, who might be the worst offense coordinator in the NFL, in NFL history. Am I being too hard on Kenny Pickett to think that he barely even belongs in the league? I don't think that things are not working out well for him with the Eagles, although they still are kind of standing behind him as the backup quarterback. But to me, I've really already seen enough of Kenny Pickett. Am I being too critical?
I think just me personally as a fan of the Steelers, I would love to bash Kenny Pickett right here, saying he's the worst guy in NFL history, a terrible quarterback.
Well, that would probably be Nathan Peterman.
Yeah, Nathan Peterman's pretty bad. Five interceptions in one hat's pretty bad, or might even been six, regardless. I think Pickett, he reminds me a lot of a guy like maybe Gardner Minshew, just a little bit toned down, where he could catch lightning in a bottle and make a few plays, a few drives that wins a team a game, but you never want him to be your franchise guy because he's not proven it yet. I think he's just a little too small of a quarterback, which I think that hurts him as well. I'm not a big fan of Kenny Pickett. I think he's going to be an okay backup in the league probably for another 3 to 4 years. Then you might see him phased out, maybe going to like the XFL or something like that.
How did they miss on him? Because here's the thing. You know, I've always written a lot of comparisons between Pitt and Penn State. It's just good. It's fun stuff. Everybody loves those kind of discussions. So I wrote a lot of comparisons between Sean Clifford and Kenny Pickett. They had relatively kind of similar career trajectories in terms of mediocrity in college until their final year. Kenny Pickett was excellent his entire final year at Pitt. Sean Clifford turned things around like the last five games at Penn State. He had been mediocre at best. But the difference is Sean Clifford was drafted in the fifth round. How did Kenny Pickett convince the world that he's a first-round pick? And look, I mean, there was possibility he could have slipped to the second, but Mike Tomlin, they loved him. They saw him in the building. They liked him as a person. I just think he pulled the wool over everybody's eyes because he had one good run at Pitt. But if you look at the whole rest of his career, it was mediocre.
Yeah, I think that was the entire draft class summary. 2022 draft class for quarterbacks was horrendous.
Malik Willis.
You had Matt Corral out of Ole Miss was in that draft class.
Yep.
I mean, those were really the only big guys in that. And then you had Purdy going as Mr. Relevant, who ended up being...
Isn't that great?
Yeah,
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy. And I mean, I'm a Purdy believer now. He's turned me around a little bit. I wasn't at first, but I think he's a pretty good quarterback now. Anyways, I mean, I think the Steelers were just in a desperate position where they didn't want to not take a chance on a quarterback because they haven't done that really since Roethlisberger was drafted in 04. So they were kind of in a tough spot where it's like, okay, we're pick 20 right now. You know, we got our pick at any quarterback in the draft, whether it's at that time it was Willis, Corral, and Pickett, those top three guys. Everybody thought Willis probably would be the first one off the board and ended up being Pickett. Then it took two more rounds into the third round before Willis went to the Titans, I believe. So I think the Steelers felt a little pressure to go with him, and I think he definitely fooled them just because, again, he was in the building every day. It was familiarity.
But my God, man, his sophomore year, 61%, 10 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 2,700 yards. His junior year, 61%, 13 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 2,400 yards. So he catches lightning in a bottle, and he was obviously tremendous as a COVID senior, 4,300 yards, 42 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. But like we joked about with Sean Clifford all the time, Kenny Pickett was 39 years old.
Yeah,
his final year, he was
in there forever.
Exactly. So that to me is, I still don't think Sean Clifford should have been drafted, but he went in the fifth round. If Kenny Pickett, you know, goes in the third round, I get it. But the number 20, 21 pick, whatever the Steelers made him.
20.
Yeah, just I just never saw it.
Yeah, Pickett, he also had Jordan Addison at Pitt, too, which is a big deal. He was a really good receiver. So, I mean, if you got an excellent receiver that can carry you on one side of the ball, it can make a difference, especially
Christian
in college.
Christian Hackenberg about Allen Robinson.
Exactly, yeah.
Bingo. I mean,
he wouldn't have been, a second-round pick, I think?
Exactly.
He wouldn't have been a second-round pick if it wasn't for Robinson. He probably would have slipped to the later rounds.
All right, well, open up the phone lines, 946-0435. Dan is on the line. What's up, Dan the man?
Well, first I'm going to direct a question to Nate.
All right.
Now, Nate, are you from around this area?
Yeah, I'm from Altoona.
You're from Altoona. Okay, well, then that eases my question. Now, my main question now, the main reason I call, and I got 2 points.
Wait a minute. I was Nathan can tell you, I was already leaning back. I was getting my cup of coffee. Dan, I was ready to take like a 5-minute break so you can have a conversation with Nathan. So you got more than just are you from Altoona, right?
Well, no.
No.
I can lead into something else, but I don't know if you're going to love me or not, but that's up to you because you're running the show here. You're driving the bus.
Dan, I often think you're running the damn show, man.
No, I don't.
You asked me you
that at all.
What's your question? Ask the question you were gonna ask.
Yeah, you go.
Ask
right,
the question.
Was it Pennsylvanians? Are they better looking than Southerners? What's the question?
Your question is though, when Walt Young was on the last time, he gave you some fishing pointers the next time you go fishing because you were out fishing.
Dan brought up a sore point. You didn't even know, Dan. Go ahead.
Well, wait a minute now. If you want me to continue?
I do. Go ahead. But I will tell you flat out, I sucked at fishing when we went camping last week. That's what you're getting at, right?
Yeah, but the thing of it is you use Walt Young's advice.
Well, no, because when you go to Glendale, for those of you that have ever gone camping, Glendale, you're not doing highfalutin stuff. You know, Walt is a professional guy. Walt can catch anything, anywhere. At Glendale, you're kind of just going on the dock. You're putting some worms on there. You're fishing around 10 other kids who they need you to put the worm on there every time their worm comes. I'm not talking about my own kids either. I'm talking about you're out there. You got 8 other kids. you know, age 5 to 10. There's no adult. I always end up being the damn adult and the dad of the whole group. So every time somebody needs to replace the worm, I end up doing it. Now, this year, though, I didn't have to do a lot of that camping, but the couple times I went fishing, I literally caught nothing. It was terrible. I've been to Glendale for 20 years, been fishing up there hundreds of times. I've never not caught anything, Dan, until this trip. So that's why I said you're going to kind of rub me the wrong way here.
Well, no, because Walt Young gave you some pointers on these young kids. See, because you explained the situation you just got through saying to him the last time you talked to him, and then he come back with some pointers, and then the conversation, you know, and then what happened in the conversation was Walt Young had a question about tennis, see, and then you two went at it, and I said, I know I'm more interested in hearing Walt's story
yeah.
about tennis. See,
right.
About a sports story,
right.
And it turned out to be tennis. Dad, you remember that?
Dan, I tell you this all the time. You remember more of what we talk about on the show than I do. I think you're going back listening to all these podcasts and taking notes so you can call in and test me.
No, I don't have I don't even have a cell phone, no longer a computer.
I do vaguely remember something about tennis, but I don't recall exactly what Walt said about tennis.
You know, no, he mentioned there's a good-looking tennis player that you mentioned right away.
Oh, yeah, Jeannie Bouchard. Yeah, I do remember that.
Okay.
All you got to do is say good-looking tennis player, and the name Jeannie Bouchard will come atop the mind of anybody who knows anything about tennis.
Well, then Walt
she
Young
was she was the former the girlfriend. She was the former girlfriend of former Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph. So Jeannie Bouchard is legit.
Yeah. Well, then, like I say, then Walt Young come back with a good looking girl too. See,
there she is with Mason Rudolph, Nathan, right there.
I think I've seen that photo before.
Yeah,
weirdly
right.
enough.
All right. Okay. Anything else, Dan? That's a good trip down memory lane.
Yeah. I do have something else.
All
now,
right.
Now it seems so you're from here, Nate. You're from Altoona and everything. There was an article in yesterday's paper about that football coach up at St. Francis. And what's his name? I can't pronounce his last name.
Chris Valerio.
Yeah, and he had an impressive season as a career with pro team.
Chris Valerio played the NFL for more than a decade. He's been an excellent coach at St. Francis, absolutely excellent. You want to talk about a very difficult job. St. Francis is a tremendously difficult job for a football coach. He's done a really nice job there.
Yes, he has, and he puts emphasis on local
right.
talent,
mm-hmm.
see. And then this kid from Central, you know, Holsinger, I think his name is. And then he had the Holsinger and his receiver, but the receiver went to, I think, Indiana or something. And it was real interesting what he said. He wants to get local players. And then I wonder if that's his son that's playing on either offensive, defensive line. You probably haven't got a clue on something like that.
I don't know their roster all that well. All right, Dan, good stuff, man. Appreciate the call as always. Nathan and I are going to have a fantastic football discussion. It basically comes down to this. Does Penn State have to win a playoff game this year for this to be a successful season? We'll tackle that. We'll take your phone calls after the break.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips for a family picnic, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Brugaroo, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncan.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go! To Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go! To Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go! To Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Is this house a good price compared to others in the area? Are prices going up or down? If I don't make an offer right this very moment, will I miss my chance? These are just some of the questions a home buyer might ask. And these are the sorts of questions an agent who is a realtor can help answer. Because realtors have the expertise, data, and access to specialty training to help you navigate the process of buying a home. They provide support, guidance, and have your back every step of the way. That's what realtors do, because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Hank FM.
All right, welcome back. 946-0435 is our phone number. If you want to join us, anything that's on your mind. I've had a guy tried to calling in from a few times from a 412 area code. So if you're trying to call in from Pittsburgh, keep trying. I don't know why you keep hanging up. But all right, so Nathan, I'm going to put you on the spot.
All right.
Wait. We got sidetracked. I just got a text from Walt Young, our outdoors expert, who says, I think Dan should have his own show.
Why not?
Yeah, that's great. He also says, sorry to hear you didn't catch anything last week. Don't take it too hard, though. Fishing has been tough this summer. Walt, I was really struggling. I tried some mealworms. I tried some baby night crawlers. Oh, my gosh, it was terrible. So here's my question for you, Dan, or Nathan. Now I'm talking to Dan. Dan, you want to call back? Go ahead. All right, yes or no? Is Penn State going to win a playoff game this year?
I'm going to say, can I throw an asterisk in there?
No.
Okay. Well, then I'm going to bank on more than likely not.
Okay. So you didn't.
Actually, no. I take it back. Yes.
You're going to pull the Homer Kool-Aid? I was literally about to praise you because
I think they're going to host a game. If they host a game, I think they win. That's
you
what I was about to say.
Okay.
Right now, I think they somehow squeak to 11-1. I think they're only lost to Ohio State.
Okay.
So I think they're going to host a game, and I think they're going to play whether it's a 12 seed or 11 seed, they're going to play like a group of five team, and they'll be able to beat them. That's what I'm saying right now. So, yes.
You have just failed miserably at the yes or no question.
Okay. It's a tough question.
Because the follow-up question was going to be, obviously, to explain
my reasoning.
That reasoning.
Okay.
So, 9460435.
I'll go yes.
Okay, so you're sitting there. That's why you're sitting there in your Happy Valley hoodie.
One game.
You got your Penn State hat on backwards, which I'll allow because it's at least not baseball. I don't allow any of my kids to wear their hat backwards on the baseball field, but elsewhere.
On the baseball field, it shouldn't be allowed. I agree with that. Griffey did. Everywhere else except.
So basically, it comes down to this. I don't know what the heck is going on. I keep having people call in and hanging up. So maybe the phone lines are screwy. I don't know. So basically, it comes down to this. In a yes or no scenario, is Penn State going to win a playoff game? I say no. You say yes. You just addressed my reasoning for saying no within your answer, which is hosting a game.
Yeah, I think.
Explain that.
Yes. Listen, the home field advantage can be so. If you have a team like Miami or someone who may squeak in there, if they're traveling to a cold environment in which they're not used to playing, it is going to be tough to go into there with 100+ thousand people in the first week of December. It's going to be tough to go in there and win a playoff game. It is. Home field advantage is it's so much different, I think, in college than the NFL, because I think the college fan base, number one, you have a more higher capacity, number one. And it's just louder, I feel like. If you've been in Beaver Stadium when it's loud, it gets loud. And, I mean, you saw that Michigan clip, the Mo Bamba clip, which I think we talked about a few weeks ago, where Michigan couldn't even get a play call off. They had a false start, or they got a delay of game or called a timeout or something like that. So I think if their biggest hiccup right now is, listen, I'm not going to say, oh, this is the year we beat Ohio State, because we're not going to be Ohio State. I'm going to be a realist there.
There's one loss.
Ohio State. If you look at the rest of the roster, though, it really shapes up for them to probably they're going to be favored in almost every game.
So
maybe
they
USC.
Probably will be favored.
Maybe USC won't if USC isn't disappointing.
That's what it comes down to. And I'm in the same boat as Nathan. I've got them going 10-2.
Who do you think they're going to lose to? Just random game or?
James Franklin will blow a game.
Okay.
Because that's who he is.
Okay. I don't know which one. That's the problem for me. It's hard to find
the
game.
They almost lost to Purdue last year. Or
two years ago.
So, look, I don't think they're going to lose to West Virginia. But they're a big favorite. They're like favorite like 17 points.
Is it 17? I thought it was 10.
I thought I saw 16 a couple weeks ago. Check that real quick. I haven't looked at it. But my point is, James Franklin's not Mike Tomlin when it comes to just blowing a game against horrific teams. But he's going to lose a game that he shouldn't lose to. They got to go to Wisconsin. They got to go to USC. They got to go to West Virginia. He's going to blow a game.
10-point spread, by the way, right now.
It is 10. Okay. 10 points. He's going to blow a game. And that's 10-2. And so the difference in what Nathan and I are, so do I think they're going to win a playoff game? No. Why? Because I think they're going to have to go on the road in the playoff. You think they're going 11-1, and you think they're going to host a game in the playoff.
Yes. And even if they go on the road, there's a few teams which I think could sneak in there that maybe they can go in and win if just by their schedule being super, super easy. I'll talk about those maybe in a little bit here about some teams which might sneak into the playoffs. But it's hard to find a game that they could – I could say, like, okay, this can be the tight game that they might lose. Like I said, they go to USC. I think the traveling is – people are not talking about it enough. It's going to be tough for UCLA.
You got to go across the country.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely difficult to do that. So like, I'm not fearful of Washington coming into Penn State during a whiteout. I think that's going to be
– the keys are Wisconsin and USC.
Wisconsin, I forgot about Wisconsin.
You
got
to go to Madison.
Yes.
And you got to go to USC. Let's take a phone call here because we're going to – bounce this around here. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from? Hey, you're with me. Go ahead. Hello. See, that's that 412 number. I don't know if that guy's just, I don't know what's going on.
If you're
calling me from a 412 number, I stay on the line. I'll get to you. All right, welcome to the show. We've got Jerry in Bellwood. What's up, Jerry?
Well, I wanted to answer your question. It was a pretty obvious answer. Of course, guys from Pennsylvania are better looking than the people from the South.
I just threw up in my mouth.
Hey, I appreciate that.
Hey, I would agree that, look, you're not going to get some Homer answer from me out of like Nathan wearing his Happy Valley stuff.
Oh, my.
Too many people from the South don't have teeth and they're married to their cousins or they're kissing their cousins. I will agree men from the North are typically better looking than men from the South who aren't wearing underwear and they've got their butt cracks showing all the time.
Well, I mean, I'm just using the sample size that I have. The thing about Penn State, I had a question for you. Can you ever say that Aller has ever won a game for Penn State?
Okay, here's where, Jerry, this is why these discussions with Nathan are so good. Because Nathan is correctly going to jump to the point that Penn State's going to be favored in every game except for Ohio State. Now, maybe not necessarily USC, but they'll probably be favored at Wisconsin. Here's my issue. In my 20 years of covering Penn State, two of the four worst games I've ever seen by a Penn State quarterback were last year by a dude that everybody thinks is freaking awesome. I don't think he is. Until he shows me something, and this is maybe the biggest crux of differentiation between Nathan and I, and maybe between me and a lot of people. Until Drew Aller shows me jack crap, I'm going to think that he's a mediocre quarterback. Because he is not, against Ohio State, he was absolutely horse bleep manure awful until the last drive of the game, and Ohio State's defense was playing prevent. And against Michigan, he was even worse. So you're talking about two of the worst games in the history of Penn State football by a quarterback. I think at one point, Nathan, in that Ohio State game, he was 10 for 30.
Yeah.
He was 10 for 30 for 60 yards, okay? And against Michigan, only completed 3 for 70 yards. So my point is, while I can sit here and say I think Penn State could go 11-1, I also need to see Drew Aller come out and win some games if he has to. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, so has he won any games?
No.
For Penn State?
No.
No.
No, they had the number one defense in the country last year in the regular season. He didn't have to do anything. He didn't have to
He managed the game. He managed the game.
He literally had to do nothing except for run the offense and not be Taquan Roberson.
Yeah, so that's why I don't think that they're going to – have a great season, and I don't, unless he can win a game. A quarterback has to be able to win some games.
But here's the thing. Even if they lose to Ohio State, and even if Aller blows another game, that's still 10-2, man.
They're getting in at 10-2.
They're definitely getting in at 10-2. Now, they're not at 9-3, but that's my wiggle room is Aller can look putrid against Ohio State, and he can look putrid against USC, and as long as they take care of business against everybody else, they're in the playoff.
Yeah, but if that happens, I then don't think they're going to win a playoff.
Right,
game.
Because then they're an 11 or 12 seed, maybe a 10, but probably an 11. If they're 10-2 and they've lost to USC and Ohio
State,
probably
10 there.
That means they don't have a good win. That's the thing. If they lose to Ohio State and to USC, that means that they might not have a single win over a ranked opponent.
It might depend on if they like a Wisconsin. If that's a really close game,
correct?
Another like if they play Washington close,
they
for
need
some
to
reason.
Beat Wisconsin. And have Wisconsin finish in the top 15 or 20. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so
that's
a good win.
They need quality wins.
Because if Penn State look, I don't think they're going to lose to USC. I think it's more likely they lose to Wisconsin. But whoever they lose to, they need that team to go on and be really good. They don't want to lose to USC and have USC go 7-5.
Yeah. Hey, I got a trivia question for you.
Oh, let's go.
Music. It's music. It's kind of a trivia question. But do you know what song is considered by many people as the first true rock and roll song?
The Twist?
No. A lot earlier than that.
A lot earlier than that. So what are you talking, the 40s?
No, 50s. Early 50s.
Okay. I don't know off the top of my head. What is it?
Well, it's Rocket 88. Ike Turner, I think it was Ike Turner and the Rhythm Makers. I can't remember.
Are you telling me Ike Turner, who beat up Tina, gets credit for inventing rock and roll?
Well, by a lot of people. I mean, you could go back really a lot earlier than that. There's some songs in the 40s and stuff. But a lot of people say that Rocket 88 was the first really rock and roll song that
I Googled it. It's 1958. And
no, it's 1951.
Oh yeah, 1951. The one page said 58, but Wikipedia, which is never ever wrong, says March of 1951.
Yeah.
I'm gonna find this during the break and we'll play it coming back. How about that?
Sounds good. Hey, talk to you guys.
Hey, I love when Jerry calls with the music trivia. That's good. Here's the
shameless plug, 6:30, 8:30 tonight, Bavarian music trivia.
At the Bavarian.
Bavarian, yep, tonight, 6:30, 8:30. Should be a good one.
You know what? My wife and I, we talked about going the last time you were at the Bavarian because she's a member of the Bavarian, but tonight she's got to take the kids for school shopping. So
yeah.
We're out. Oh, man. Are you on a regular Bavarian rotation?
Yeah, yeah, every
now?
Tuesday. It might flip to Wednesday soon. I don't know what's going on with that.
Tuesday, we could do Tuesday. I hope it's not Wednesday because we got fall ball coming up.
Yeah, we might go on Tuesdays for a little bit here, but it's a good one tonight. There's a lot of 80s and 90s in there. So
this one came up yesterday. All right, pick a female group from the 70s/80s. All right, because somebody called in and said they had Heart tickets in Allentown. So get this, they had tickets to a Heart concert. But Ann Wilson had to back out because she has cancer treatment. So they replaced Heart, not with Exposé or Wilson Phillips, you know, those kinds of bands. They replaced Heart with Blue Oyster Cult. Now, does that strike you as odd?
I don't consider them, you know, heart to heart, and
yeah, it's not an apples to apples.
Yeah.
But he said like he only had a few weeks, and they were scrambling, so they had to. But
yeah.
If I got tickets to Heart, and all of a sudden they tell me it's become Blue Oyster Cult, I'm like, give him money back. So
I'm not a fan of Blue Oyster Cult.
So. Me either. So here's the question: female group, Heart, the Go-Go's.
It was in my head.
The Bangles.
I like the Bangles.
Or Joan Jett and the Black Hearts or the Runaways. Either one.
So definitely the last two are the ones that I'd want to see the most. Joan Jett or the Bangles. I'd go the Bangles. I like the Bangles.
You're going Bangles?
Yeah,
now,
I like the
now
Bangles.
Why are you going Bangles? We'll see how honest Nathan is going to be here because I am unabashedly in love with Susanna Hoffs.
Okay.
And I'll take Susanna Hoffs over literally 99.9999999% of the women ever born.
Okay. Except That's, your wife, right?
No.
Okay, good.
No, I'm taking Susanna Hoffs over. And my wife knows this too.
The reason I say
come
that,
on, man. This is Susanna Hoffs.
Yeah, right.
So you didn't grow up in the 80s.
I did.
You don't know the whole Susanna Hoffs, Phoebe Cates debate. Right?
I don't know that. No,
right.
No.
Go watch Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
I like Manic Monday. It's a good song.
Manic,
so.
All right. So which one are you picking?
I'd get the Bangles. That's who I'd get.
Are you going for musically?
No, musically.
I do love the Bangles. So my favorite song of theirs is actually The Flame. I love The Flame.
Oh, The Flame's good.
That's a great song. All right. We got Clarkser. We're talking about a bunch of nonsense here. What's up, Clarkser?
Hey, got a question for you. Did I miss something? Is there a Big Ten championship game?
There is.
Okay. So you have a situation there. When is that going to be played?
It's usually the same thing all the time. It's like December 4th, 5th, whatever that Saturday is.
So then the first playoff games can't be played until at least the week after.
I think they're the 21st.
I might have said the first week, but I meant second or third
week.
I'm pretty sure
the first playoff games are the 21st.
So you could have a situation where two teams potentially could be undefeated in the Big Ten championship game.
Theoretically, but...
Because we don't play Oregon, right?
Ohio State plays Oregon. So
Michigan plays Oregon. Iowa plays.
You could
Ohio
always
State.
Have that theory, but you would probably need an Iowa or a Nebraska or somebody to go undefeated. Because Ohio State
plays pretty much everybody.
We could be overrating Ohio State. Ohio State could get two losses.
But either way, if Oregon beats Ohio State, you're not going to have another undefeated team there. I mean, who else are you going to have?
Penn State.
But then Penn State would need to beat Ohio State.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We could be overrated. Look,
I'm on the record.
Friggin' game yet.
I don't think I'm ever going to pick Penn State against Ohio State ever again for the history of the world. I did it last year. I'm pissed about it still.
Where's the game being played?
Ohio State has the best roster in the nation.
Yeah,
I'm not afraid to say that. It is the best roster.
I've always said this, Clarkson. I've always said this. The number one thing when I evaluate any Penn State season, you know what the very first thing I look at is, Nathan?
I'm guessing the Ohio State game.
Where is the Ohio State game? Because if they got to go to Columbus, forget it.
Yeah.
I have always given Penn State a lot of benefit of the doubt when the games would be. But, man, after what I saw, again, I just saw Drew Aller crap the bed and then wake up and roll around in it like a dog and then crap the bed again and then eat it. I mean, he was so bad against Ohio State last year until he shows me that he can play at a high level against that kind of team. I'm not picking up Penn State for that kind of game.
Here's the problem. You could go undefeated, lose in the championship game of the Big Ten, and depending on what everybody else does in the rest of the country, you could fall out at the top four.
Because, yes, that's correct.
You know, the thing with Penn State is you got to finish in the top eight to get that home game initially, and that's going to be a weather game, more than likely, because of the time of the year you're going to have it. Right before Christmas.
Yeah, that definitely could happen. You've got all kinds of scenarios that can happen.
Yeah, so if they get the home game, I think they can win a game. Okay, if they go on the road, I have my doubts. But again, everything is on paper right now. We think, let's suppose, you know, and a lot of things can happen. How's that kid going to work out at quarterback at Ohio State?
Yeah, we don't know. It's not like they've got C.J. Stroud or Justin Fields or Barrett or any of these other. We don't know how good that
they
is.
They got a pretty good quarterback. I'm just letting you know. Yeah. You be shocked.
But he's got to play in that system.
He's got to play in that system. But whenever you got five stars all around you, it's pretty easy to play in that system.
And he could fall down and break.
True.
I mean, a lot of things can happen, so we don't know. The thing is, you want to finish in the top eight. To get in the top eight, you have to have one loss.
You have to have one loss. That's the key. That's the bottom line. So I got to take a break here in a second. The bottom line of the question is Penn State going to win a playoff game? Nathan and I are complete agreement about what it will take to do that, and that means that they've got to finish in the top eight and host that game.
Do you lose to Ohio State and still get into the Big Ten championship game?
No.
Okay.
Because that would probably be, even if Ohio State lost to Oregon.
You might.
You'd be crazy tiebreaker. There'd be some crazy tiebreakers.
It'd probably
go
by points or something like that. And Oregon would be able to score.
A buddy of mine, Joe Lodnoski, who's a frequent guest on the show from the PA Sports Network, he asked me about that just 2 days ago on the radio about what the tiebreakers might be. Mm-hmm. And so the current Big Ten tiebreakers are like, What's your record, or previous when you had divisions? What's your record against the other division? It was ridiculous.
There's no divisions now, though.
Yeah, there's no divisions now. But the way a lot of the rest of the country will do it is they'll take, like, your ranking. You know, they'll take your ranking in the college football playoff, and that would be
– okay.
I don't know what the tiebreaker is.
What if they lose the Ohio State at home on a last-second field goal?
But what's your end goal? Yeah, they're probably in. Yeah, but – again, Nathan, point out.
You say you make the Big Ten championship?
Ohio State has to play Oregon also, and Ohio State has to play Michigan. So there are a lot of things that could end up happening.
Yes.
Even if Penn State loses to Ohio State, sure, they could get in, but, I mean, typically that has not happened. If they lose to Ohio State, and then even if Ohio State loses to Oregon, and now you're counting on Oregon to go undefeated, but then you've already lost the tiebreaker to Ohio State. See what I'm getting? If you lose the tiebreaker to Ohio State, you're kind of in some trouble.
Yeah. Well, if you beat Ohio State, but Ohio State beats Oregon,
you shouldn't. You'd be.
You're saying if you beat Ohio State.
Yes,
you should be the one.
I mean, if you beat Ohio State, you should go undefeated. I mean, that's if they beat Ohio State,
they shouldn't lose another game on that schedule.
Yeah,
if they beat Ohio State.
There's nobody else on their schedule remotely. There's only like two teams on their schedule ranked. I mean, none of these teams are anywhere near as good as Ohio State.
There's too many marbles out there floating around right now.
Thanks, buddy. I just admitted to my wife because she texted me. I thought she was going to say something about me. So I admitted to her, I just picked Susanna Hoffs over you on the radio. My intern forced me to choose.
Oh, I did not.
It's okay. It's all right.
No.
If you have open dialogue with your spouse, they understand that some people, you know.
You had a hall pass.
Yeah, right. There's nothing wrong with a hall pass. Not a good movie, though. Did you watch that movie?
I have not.
Jenna Fisher, who's like, I love Jenna Fisher
like
from
Jenna
The Office.
Fisher.
Did you like The Office?
Oh, my God, The Office is great.
And Christine, not a good movie. I thought the movie was kind of stupid.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was like 7 years ago. All right, Nathan will take over. We'll talk some more college football after this.
I'm Kerry Murphy with your NASCAR Cup Series race recap from Michigan. Tyler Reddick takes home his second win of the season after a bunch of second-place finishes recently.
Pretty chaotic race for us. Going into the night, we had a bad restart and just didn't really know where we were going to stack up, but I think we had a good sense of direction of what we needed to do. Going into today's race, the first time we came to what our plan was going to be coming down pit road for the first time. I think we just made good adjustments on our car all day. It wasn't really a smooth day. We made some mistakes on pit road and it put us in a bad spot going into stage three, but right behind the wreck, which was I don't know, just luck, I guess. So we had some good restarts after that and just kept passing cars and getting closer to the front. And obviously it take a little more fuel than the nine and some of those guys. And we just had to go up there and pass them back. So all in all, it was a great day. I didn't know I was going to shake out with a caution to six to go. Was hoping to just maintain control. We didn't. And then we just got a really good push from Ty on the last restart and propelled us back into the lead.
Let's see here. Tyler led 15 of the 206 laps on the day for his second win of the season and seventh career. William Byron was second, followed by Ty Gibbs, Kyle Busch, who made a two-tire pit stop late in this thing to finish up front, and Brad Keselowski rounds out the top five. Just two races remain in the regular season, Daytona this weekend and Darlington, as the 10-race playoffs are coming up. Up next for the NASCAR Cup Series, Saturday night under the lights from Daytona, 7:30 p.m. Eastern on NBC. You're on the final lap.
Wake up. Breakfast. And Nature Made vitamins. Whatever your morning sounds like, Nature Made fits right in. Whether you're looking for vitamin C or a multivitamin to get key nutrients, we've got you covered. Now that's a good morning. We take care of you so you can take on your day. Start your day with Nature Made, the number one pharmacist recommended vitamin and supplement brand. Based on a survey of pharmacists who recommend branded vitamins and supplements.
Progressive presents good news, bad news, dumb news, then great news. Good news. While leaning over the fence, your neighbor said you could save money bundling home and auto insurance with Progressive. Bad news. Your neighbor leaned over a little too much and broke your fence. Dumb news. Somehow fence wood is more expensive than wood would. Great news. You decide to see if you could save money bundling at Progressive.com and to plant really tall shrubs. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Remember when you used to cruise the boulevard back in the day? Maybe you stopped at JMP Automart to check out their inventory. Well, you know you still can. JMP Automart is still rocking Central PA with the best deals. Check them out online at jmpautomart.com, where you can apply for financing and see their inventory of over 200 units. Or cruise in like you used to 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard and see them in person. Got a trade? JMP will give you $1,000 push, pull, or tow. Apply for financing online. JMP Automart, in business for 64 years, so they must be doing something right.
All right, so we got the first rock and roll song, according to a caller that many people believe it is. This is back in 88.
You've heard of jalopies, you've heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Baby, we'll ride in style, moving all along.
That's pretty good. I it says on here on the YouTube page, Nathan says, Rocket 88 is considered by most to be the first rock and roll song because it's the first song that uses distortion to affect the sound of the guitar.
Interesting.
Is that how they define rock and roll?
I guess so. I guess I never thought of it that way.
I thought the first rock and roll song was Marty McFly singing that song at the Enchantment Under the Sea dance that he calls Chuck Berry and tells him about.
Yeah, that was what, late 50s, early 60s?
Yeah, that was 19... 1955. That would Marty McFly. I thought that was the first rock and roll song.
It might have been.
Well, you got to incorporate this into music trivia now.
I might have to. Maybe that's a little trivia question next week. And if anybody's listening to the show somehow, it comes to the trivias. I'll tell you what, they're gonna have a nice little 2 points up on the score.
Yeah, that's tough.
You know what people were probably doing whenever the song came out, Corey, in 1951.
I think I know where you're going with this, man.
They were probably smoking cigars.
Right.
And you know what type of cigars they should have been smoking? J.M. Boswell's, which is located on 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA, 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday. They're open, or 9 to 4 on Saturday. And they're always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there's nothing like a Boswell's pipe and cigar.
I remember that I'm always intrigued by your segues into our awesome J.M. Boswell support.
I always try to incorporate it somehow. And I'll tell you what, I was thinking that one. It came in my head like a minute ago. I'm like, perfect idea.
Comes natural. It's like genius pops in your head.
Yep. At 4:40 every day, I think of something. Right, I'm like, okay, there it is. All right, so we're going to talk a little college football because, again, college football starts this Saturday. We got Georgia Tech and Florida State playing overseas, I believe around like 3 o'clock or something like that. Should be a fun game. I think it's actually going to be a lot closer than what people think.
Oh, right, they're in Dublin.
Yeah, I think it's around 3, I want to say. But
they're not at that Crow Park, are they, where Penn State played? Or are they play someplace different?
They might be there. Don't quote me on that. I'm not sure.
Now, you were really young at the time. Did you watch that game on TV?
UCF?
The Sam Ficken game.
I remember I couldn't watch it because Ficken always messed everything up the year prior, I remember.
Let me tell you this story. This is so cool. So, covering the game, you can be down on the field for the last few minutes of a game. Mm-hmm. And so, I was in Ireland, and I was on the field, and you're on the side. And so Ficken makes the kick, and I run out on – what you do as a reporter, you have your camera, your phone, videotaping it, and I run out on the field. I catch James Franklin pretty quickly. So I'm with James.
So that's first year there?
It was the first game.
First game. Okay.
I'm with James relatively quick. Like, as soon as the game's over, and James – I get him like 5-8 yards because I run pretty fast. I go straight to James, make a beat. So I'm with James for like the first couple minutes. And I could have sworn that I have on video, Ficken! Where's Ficken? I'm so happy for you, MF-er! I kid you not. My video, that's what it sounds like he says. I kid you not. Because I'm literally 2 feet away. And I could have. I
remember that game so vividly because that was like 9:30 over here.
He could have said something else. I'm so happy for you, my man. I'm so happy for you. But I could have sworn. I've gone back and watched the video numerous or listened to the video. I could have sworn. I'm so happy for you,
Ember. It might have been. I mean, hey, that's one hell of a way to get your first win.
That was amazing. That was an amazing win. That was a good trip.
Yeah. So yeah, we got. Little Dublin ball here to start out the college football in week 0. I think there's a few other notable. I think SMU plays or something like that, but it's a bunch of lower class teams, which it's still football. I think if you want to stay up till 3 a.m. watching Hawaii,
are you that guy?
I'm not the Hawaii.
There's finally football being played. I'm gonna watch anybody that's playing.
Oh, absolutely. College football wise. Now I ain't staying up till 3 o'clock in the morning to watch Hawaii, but I'm gonna watch pretty much most of the day. I'd assume at least tune in and have it on in the background, but. Let's talk a little college football, some broad spectrum. There's a lot of teams, which I looked at their over-under win totals and what Vegas is projecting, that I really don't understand how the lines came up to this. The first one I'm going to talk about is Iowa. And I know Iowa, you can't ever count on them to win a game, but you can also count on them to win a game because they're that good. And they will just outperform someone somehow.
They find ways to win 9-7.
They are the Steelers of college football, where they're just gonna.
Yes, that's a good comparison.
Yes, and black and gold.
What's their over-under?
5 o'clock at the top of the hour. They're over under right now. If you'd take a guess, because
they only play one ranked team.
They play
Ohio State. No other team on their schedule is ranked. Looking at this schedule, I'd say 8.5.
It's 7.5.
Okay,
I think that's an easy over.
I would take over on that. I mean, Illinois State, Iowa State. That's always a great
yeah. The
rally.
Iowa State game.
Troy at Minnesota, Washington at Michigan State. I mean, yeah, there's no great teams on this schedule, so.
I think it even should be maybe even closer to 9.5.
I will say I'm not overly familiar with what they got coming back offensively,
Cade
quarterback
McNamara,
or whatever.
Cade McNamara, he'll be
guy?
Back.
And hopefully Kirk Ferentz went out and hired somebody that knows anything about offense, but he's still Kirk Ferentz. He's still going to rely on his defense. defense.
Yes, and they got their entire offensive line's back as well.
I'll take the over. I'll take the over.
That's an easy over to me.
Their entire offensive line's back.
All five people are back. Yeah, so it's a pretty. I think that. And they're a plus 700 to make the playoffs, too, which I don't think if they go 11-1 and they lose in the Big Ten Championship, they might even sneak in as the 11th seed.
They won't have any good wins.
They won't. That's the problem. But if you have two losses to maybe the number one team in the country in Ohio State, it's going to be hard not to maybe put them in.
Okay.
Utah. So this is the first year in the Big 12. Their only difficult game is Oklahoma State, in my opinion. I think every other game there is... It's there for the taking. They have Cam Rising coming back for his seventh year. It's first year in the Big 12, like I said. I think they're going to win it. Kyle Whittingham is an excellent coach that does not get the respect he deserves. Their over-under is 9.5 right now.
Oh, that's a big number, though, man.
It is a big number.
That's a big number.
But you can lose to Oklahoma State, and you can have a slip-up. So that's why I think, like, this Utah
line. I have
a
lot of respect for Utah. I have a lot of respect for Utah and Whittingham. They did not play well in the Rose Bowl against Penn State after they knocked out Rising. You said 9.5?
9.5. That's a big number, but I think they will easily hit 10. I really do.
I'm gonna take the under because 9-3 is a good. They lost three games when they went to the Rose Bowl. Remember that?
Penn State
was their fourth loss.
They were also played in a tougher division with the Pac-12.
The Big
12 is not going to be that good.
I'm going to go. I'll go. I mean, it is 9-10. I'll go under. You take the.
Okay. Virginia Tech at 8.5 right now.
The Brent Pry.
Brent Pry. 20 returning starters. 20 returning starters. Kyron Drones is their quarterback. 22 total touchdowns last year to 3 interceptions.
So
I mean,
8.5. You said
8.5, and their game so. They play, this is their notable games, Rutgers, Miami, Georgia Tech, and Clemson. I think Georgia Tech and Rutgers, I think they can beat pretty handily. Rutgers is solid, but I think this Virginia Tech team's better. In Miami, I think it's a coin flip, but I'd give them the loss probably to Clemson.
I always have a difficult time going against my man Brent Pry. He's just an awesome guy, Altoona native, lots of family around here, but I'm going to take the under there.
Okay.
They got to play Clemson, Duke, UVA. That's always a rivalry game. They got to play Georgia Tech, Rutgers. I think Rutgers could beat them. Rutgers and then Miami. I'm going to go 7-5 for the Hokies.
Okay, I really do that. It's not because Brent Pry.
But hey, 7-5 is probably okay. That's enough of a step for them, I would think, in year three for him.
Yeah, I don't know. I think this team, honestly, this might be my bold take. I think they have a chance to win the ACC. I really do.
They still have two divisions in that league over there, the Coastal and the whatever.
I think so. And if they can knock off Clemson, I think they're winning the ACC pretty easy.
You know what? I can't say I've done my homework on all these teams, but I respect Duke. I respect Virginia. I respect Rutgers in these kinds of games. They've got to go to Old Dominion and face Ricky Ronnie in the former Penn State Coaches Bowl. They play Marshall also. So Pry's got Marshall.
Marshall, you're telling me. Virginia Tech is not losing to Marshall.
No, but what I'm saying is they've got Charles Huff and Marshall, and then the very next week he's got Ricky Ronnie and ODU. So you got Brent Pry going up against the Penn State.
Then
the next week you got Greg Schiano, who's also a former Penn State. Is anybody on Miami? And actually their first game is Vanderbilt, where Brent Pry's from.
Yes.
How about this for a 3-game stretch for Brent Pry? Vanderbilt, Marshall, ODU. That's
crazy.
Hilarious.
They're gonna
that's
be
hilarious.
They're going to be 3-0 after that.
Yeah, they'll be 3-0, but it's hilarious that's the way the universe has shaped up.
This is the craziest over-under, I think. 7.5 is Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State right now, I know you said that you don't like Gundy and you don't trust him and stuff
like that.
I don't
trust him.
They play Utah. That is the one hard game on their schedule. I mean, come on. They return Ollie Gordon, who is the best running back in the country.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sabotage your discussion and say that Mike Gundy's just not a serious person. So yesterday he's bitching and moaning about how he doesn't want his players talking about NIL money during the season, right? You saw that story?
Yes, I did see that story.
Today, very next day, Oklahoma State linking helmet QR code to NIL fund.
Shut the
hell up. You're a man, but you act like you're 10 years old. I'm going to take the under just out of spite.
Oh, my God. I think Oklahoma State wins 10
I just think he's
here.
A giant goof. I think
I do.
For as much of a consistent presence.
You feel that way with Lane Kiffin too, right?
I do. And for as much of a consistent presence as I think James Franklin is, as I think Nick Saban is, I don't think Gundy, Kiffin, I don't think these are serious enough people.
Okay. That has
nothing to do with football.
The reason 7.5 is disrespectful to me is, I mean, they have 20 returning starters come back. Like I said, you have the best running back in the country with Ollie Gordon. I mean, this team feels like they're going to go a 10-2, 9-3. This is an easy
7.5
over.
Is a low number.
It's a very low number. Final team we'll talk about, NC State, is 8.5. I think NC State is a solid roster this year. Their coach only has one losing season there.
So for all of these, are you taking the overs?
Yeah, I have unders too, but we can go into that maybe Thursday.
Let's do that another time, because the one thing I will say this from having done a lot of sports betting in my life, don't overestimate people. That's how you lose money, especially your favorite team.
I'm not doing that. Penn State, I think it's 9.5 for Penn State.
I'm just saying, like, all things being equal in the betting universe, you take any points you can get and you take an under, because you need things to go well to win.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to lose. You get one player hurt. Cam Rising gets hurt and Utah's 6-6.
Yeah,
and Utah could go 10-2. He gets hurt, they're 6-6.
I guess so.
So to me, if you're actually talking real moolah, real money, you got to convince me that somebody's going to overachieve.
Okay.
Because it's easier to underachieve.
Yeah, okay.
See what I'm getting at?
I can see what you're saying. That the one team I think is the exception to this is Oklahoma State at 7.5.
Yeah,
I think
that's a low number for a power program.
You got to take them there. All right, we'll wrap it up on the other side. Hopefully you guys enjoyed a little over-under talk.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn Mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
At Shoe Fly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoe Fly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoe Fly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoe Fly's fit specialists, visit their website, shoeflystores.com. Your feet will thank you.
All right, this is Sports Central. I'm Nathan Ferlina. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show today. I want to thank our presenting sponsors, J.M. Boswell's, as always. Get yourself great cigars, Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturday. Black and Gold Breakdown at the top of the hour, 5 to 6. Give it a call in. Talk a little Steelers football. Corey, who's the starter right now? I keep saying it every week, but who's the starter, you think, Fields or Wilson at the moment?
It'll be Wilson, but we talked last time I was on. I think Wilson gets hurt and he gets replaced at some point by Fields.
Okay, and I'll tell you what, the way that offensive line's looking, there's a good chance he gets hurt pretty quick. Yep. So we'll have to wait and see. But hopefully you guys enjoyed the college talk. We'll talk a little more about it on Thursday. I'll be hosting Thursday, so make sure you guys tune in 4 to 5, and take care.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WK.